His fame.
Yes.
Problem, however. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's my title tonight, for the benefit of the tape room, without a preacher. Without a preacher. That's why that brother called me from Newfoundland last week, saying, listening to tapes, a few people in a little cluster on Sunday gathered around a tape recorder, listen to Highway Holiness tapes without a preacher. They have a preacher through the cassette ministry. That'll do till they can get a preacher. But God needs to call right out from their midst our sin a preacher. Amen. I got a call today from Danny Cassidy down in Georgia. The church he's preaching at this weekend is calling for a pastor. They wanted to talk to Jim Lawson. Wondered if he'd gone to Montana yet, because they're without a preacher. Amen. I asked him a few questions. Amen. And I might have found out why they don't have a preacher. I don't know. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm preaching tonight without a preacher. They've got a graveyard in Africa that they call a white man's graveyard. For years and years, every white man that went to preach the gospel in Africa died of the diseases that ravaged their bodies after a short stay in Africa. Amen. David Livingston, the Pathfinder, even though he lasted a long time and challenged the hearts of his fellow Englanders, amen, to go into Africa, even though Moffat, who translated the Bible, praise God, and was a great missionary in Africa, all of them gave their lives to those who were without a preacher. Praise God. A preacher rode into a Bible-less, churchless, Christless, preacherless village in a Jeep one day. And the chief came running out to meet the Jeep. And the townspeople came running out to meet the Jeep. They grabbed a native bug and laid it on the hood of that Jeep, and they shook their heads. That's him, because an angel had came by and told the chief that he was going to send somebody to tell him about God, and he'd be riding in a chariot that was the same color of that bug. They were without a preacher, and they knew that God had finally sent them a man of God. Amen. An old man in Mexico made his way into one of the bigger towns and got to hear Sister Gail Myers preach the gospel and gave his life to God. Amen. Got saved. He didn't know any better. Amen. But he made Sister Gail Myers get on a horse at gunpoint and held a gun on her, and they rode through the mountains all the way back to his village. He said, "We don't have a preacher, no one to tell us about this Christ." Amen. And at the point of a gun, he took a missionary to his village, desperate for a preacher. Praise God. Without a preacher. The world is full of towns like that, full of cities like that. Amen. Camp meeting's a wonderful thing. Amen. That's where all the preachers go. and congregate to get encouragement, amen, and to get help, and sometimes to be trimmed. Because there's so many preachers at so many camp meetings, and they've already, most of them, preached out, amen, and told everything they know, amen, and so they'll start picking on each other. Amen. They start preaching against shoes with the heels and toes out, chewing gum and ice cream, neckties, amen, and colored shirts, amen. And first one thing another, I was in one of those meetings, amen, where they recommended strongly that a preacher ought to wear a white shirt and a dark suit. I said, that's okay, but I said, we can't get too strict on that. I said, John the Baptist wouldn't be welcome in most of our churches. Amen. Well, one of the preachers who's now dead piped up, who is the leader of the group, amen, preaching, and a preacher ought to wear a white shirt and a dark suit, amen. He said, if John the Baptist was here, he'd dress just like we do. He didn't. And he was here. Amen. Yeah, you can hardly keep from reading the record. His raiment was a leathern girdle about his loins, and his coat was camel's hair. Amen. His meat was locusts and wild honey. Hallelujah. Ah, yes, he came on the scene with a booming voice. Praise God. A man with the volume of a moose telling God's people to get loose. His pulpit was a rock on the Jordan River, praise God. His baptistry was the Jordan River itself. And all the regions round about came to hear this wild preacher, this man that lived in the wilderness, amen, who proudly wore the name John the Baptist. Amen. Who was this man that some called wild? Preached by the river all the while. A man with a volume of a moose, telling God's children to get loose from the devil, John the Baptist. He could have been a general or some nation's king. He spoke with great authority, and God's truth voice did ring. He robed himself in camel's hair, and locusts did exist, and he proudly wore the name. Say it with me, John the Baptist. Would John be welcome in our ranks today? Probably not, because we're already overrun with our kind of preacher. Amen. I mean, brother, there's all kinds of preachers where a lot of times, you know, we'd be better off if men would obey God and go into all the world and preach the gospel. We might deliver ourselves from many a curse, hallelujah, if we would just feel after God and try to find His will. Amen. If you've got the least inkling to preach the gospel, praise God, I'll encourage you to go. If the Mormons can send their boys out into all the world and spend 2 years walking the streets of some city living by faith, amen, you ought to try it once in a while. I'll tell you why you can't. You're in debt and you're bound to that stupid job, amen, and you think you can't make a living, amen, and God don't take care of the ravens no more. He don't feed His preachers no more. Amen. Oh, you may not have as much as somebody else. You may not have. Amen. I'll get him after a while. Amen. Hallelujah. He may be a stranger and I take him in. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Amen. He may be looking for a dead preacher. I don't know. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, the old Indian had a scripture for everything he did. One night while preaching in the open air, he swallowed a bug. They said, "What do you got to say about that, Indian Joe?" And he said, "He was a stranger, and I took him in." Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, praise God. Sometimes beggars can't be choosy. Praise God. I mean, Jonah come tearing into Nineveh. He didn't want to go.
Amen. But God sent him. And Nineveh wasn't worthy of him, but God sent him. And when that whale finally vomited him up, and one preacher said he walked that whale's tongue like a gangplank. Amen. And hit the ground running. And after a day's journey into Nineveh, he began to preach. What was wrong with Nineveh? They needed a preacher. And Jonah was the reluctant elective for that job. Amen. After a great revival in Nineveh, which most people would have, amen, rejoiced about, Jonah sat down on the mountaintop under his gourd vine, amen, and waited for God to destroy the city. Amen. Later on, one of our preachers wrote a song to us preachers, said, "Come out from under the gourd vine, preacher." Amen. Tell God's people what they got to do. Come out from under the gourd vine, preacher, praise God. And preach that we need to come out from under the gourd vine. Amen. You who are so smart and you know so much how to pastor a church and how the things of God ought to be run, you need to go out and try it for 2 years. Just 2 years. Amen. Those that have gone out from here to pastor, amen, have come back to tell us that their idea of preaching is totally different now. Amen. Come on, sharp cookie. Amen. Come on, you wise guys. Amen. You folks that's got all kinds of sharp, smart things to say about the preachers that come by the highway of holiness and about all the offerings we take, leave that $20 hour job. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. For 6 months, you'll sing a different tune. You'd be like Sister Carol Korn sleeping in the car up here in the edge of Pennsylvania and West Virginia. Amen. And because they couldn't afford a motel, and she raised her voice loud enough for anybody to hear around close. Does anybody know we're here? Amen. What happened? Bill and Carol left their comfortable home in Middletown, sold their job at auction sale. I was there when they sold it. Amen. And went into all the world to preach the gospel. Amen. Oh, there's plenty of critics to talk about the preacher's kids. They even criticized Gideon's kids. Amen. The Bible said he had many wives. Amen. And he had a lot of kids to criticize. Amen. And a lot of kids for him to talk about. But he did something a bunch of us haven't done. He got in the hall of fame in Hebrews the 11th chapter in spite of his wives and in spite of the children. Amen. You'll be lucky if you make it through the pearly gates. Amen. If you don't learn to keep your mouth shut, you ain't going. Larry Ferguson, praise God, was preaching down there in Kentucky where they didn't have a preacher. He was pastoring two churches for a while. Why? Because they didn't have a preacher. He held tent meetings, praise God, and got those people saved. Amen. And glory to God. And in a tent meeting, a drunk come in with his bottle in his poke. The first night he let him go as he sat back in church and made noises and drank out of his a bottle in the back of the tent. The next night, amen, Brother Ferguson went back and accosted the brother and told him to reverence God and not to bring his whiskey into the church and get rid of that bottle. Amen. And the drunk said, "I'll get rid of it." All right. And he hauled off and hurled it at the preacher and busted it over his head where the preacher fell back prophesying, "Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." In about a week, that drunk who had attacked the preacher with his whiskey bottle and busted it on his head was run over by a truck. God won't mess with you if you mess with God's preachers. I know there's some folks in the Miami Valley that think they're God called to keep the preacher straight, but you're not. You'll be lucky to keep yourself straight. Amen. I'll tell you, your problem is you run out of anything to talk about. You run out of anything to gossip about. Amen. Well, here's one. I don't care what you say. The more you talk about me, the worse you look. Say what you want to. You condemn yourself. Those that can't condemn the prophets condemn their own self. Now come on, smart stuff. Open your stupid mouth all you want to. Amen. You're digging your own grave with your own tongue. Amen. Because there's a shortage of preachers. And we don't need any discouragement. We need encouragement. Hallelujah. Without a preacher. Amen. Just a little farther over in the book of Romans, the 15th chapter, Paul says, amen, in the 23rd verse, and I'll just read it to you. But now having no more place in these parts and having great desire many years to come to you. What was it? Amen. Where Paul had preached. He had preached out. He had done the best he could and took them as far as he could take them. And now he said, I have no more place in these parts. I'm glad for men that are smart enough and sensitive enough to the Spirit to know when to move. To move with God. Amen. To move when God says to move. Hallelujah. It was that same Paul that had such good success in Asia and figured he should preach more in Asia, and God forbid him to preach any more in Asia. He had preached out in Asia. Paul didn't worry about it. He just went to sleep, and in the night he saw a vision, a man of Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Praise God. And the next day he started out for Macedonia, what is now Yugoslavia, and preached the gospel the first time, founded the church of Thessalonica and others, praise God. And when he wrote to the Thessalonians later, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he was writing to all of Macedonia. I've heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light. Send the light. And a golden offering at the cross will they send the light. Sing it with me. Send the light. Send the light. The blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Amen. Without a preacher, why did Paul leave that great foundation, bastion of revival? Amen. In Asia, I mean, if Ephesus, Philadelphia, Thyatira, Pergamos had been graced, Laodicea, praise God, Sardis, and all of them had been graced by the greatest preachers that ever wore sandals. Amen. I don't know what these folks that preaches against shoes, the heels and toes out, preach about that command of Jesus, you know, to wear sandals. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. Amen. Oh, yes. Why did he leave that place of revival and go preach the gospel? Macedonia. Because they needed a preacher also. Amen. Sundar Singh, whom God had used so wonderfully in India, that yellow-robed prophet with his bare feet, he came to America, amen, and preached against the Americans' gold and how it was hindering us from preaching the gospel. Went back to India to preach the gospel to his own people. Amen. Sundar Singh wouldn't be welcome in some of our churches. As a matter of fact, he wasn't welcome across the Himalayas, in those forbidden lands where strangers are not welcome. But he crossed those frozen peaks barefooted to preach the gospel where it never had been preached. No church, no pastor invited him for revival. Amen. But they were without a preacher. A crabby Himalayan was harvesting his wheat. He had nothing good to say to Sundar Singh. But Sundar Singh picked up a cradle and started cutting wheat with him and helped him reap his harvest. Preached the gospel to him. The next year, his land bore twice as much wheat as it did before. And everybody felt like it was because the feet of God's servant had touched that land. The Bible said, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of them that publish the glad tidings of peace. Amen. But to us today, who are full up to here with gospel preaching, we are gorged and gagged on gospel preaching. We've heard so much, we don't appreciate it anymore. And so we get picky about it. We're like children that have every good thing to eat. And they eat all day long. And when mom gets dinner ready, they pick. And they pick. Come on, honey, eat your carrots. I don't like old carrots. Come on, honey, eat your spinach. I don't like old spinach. If you get hungry enough, you'll be like Lester Moore, who said he didn't like turnip greens until he fasted in that revival several days. And the lady, the house cook, to kill the turnip greens and said, Brother Moore, you like turnip greens? And he said, I love them. Amen. It makes a difference when you're hungry. Amen. Praise God. We need a lot of preaching. Amen. We need a lot of people to be faithful to the call of God. Hallelujah. I say, if you got the least inkling to go, go. Try it. Don't mess around. Don't wait. Give people a chance to say he lacked wisdom. He went too quick. Amen. Give them something to talk about. Amen. They're running out of fodder to chew on. Amen. Go! Hallelujah. Well, the most resourceful men you ever saw was Paul the Apostle. He went at his own expense most of the time. With the evangelistic party that he had, amen, he just about had to go at his own expense anyway. He put them all to work making tents. And they sold tents. And he preached the gospel. Hallelujah. We need some men and women that's a little bit resourceful. They know how to work with their hands if they have to. Amen. They know how to live on a shoestring if they have to. Amen. Why you live the way you do? Shop at the stores you shop at, Brother Collins, because I've lived on a shoestring for years. I got the habit. Amen. I shop the sales. I wait till they've gone out of style, and then I buy that which is out of style. Amen. And wear it while it's still lapping over. The style, that is. Praise God. Because I learned to live on a shoestring. Amen. Live by faith. I told Sister Collins, and I owe a lot to that brown-eyed girl back there. Amen. She's went with me and stayed with me, and she's never questioned when I said I felt led to go. She started packing, even when I wasn't sure. Amen. And so I owe a lot to her because she stayed with me all the way. I'm indebted. I owe a debt of gratitude to my dear wife. I'm not the easiest fellow in the world to get along with. Amen. And so I need a special kind that could take it. Praise God. And she is taking it. We need some wives that's got the stuff. We need some wives that's got the true grit, if you will. Amen. They say that the traveling through the West with a covered wagon was particularly hard. It was especially hard on the women. Babies were born on the Oregon Trail. Amen. Lives were changed. Three men named Collins, one of them was named Aaron, started west from Knox County, Kentucky. Years and years ago, they was going to the rich lands of the West and run out of money in Arkansas and homesteaded 40 acres apiece or so in the flat woods in the hills of Arkansas. When one of their family died, they buried them right on their own ground. And so there's three graveyards. It's called Collins Graveyard. Oh, one of them's called Flint and one of them's called something else. Amen. But everybody close to home knows that they're Collins graveyards. Amen. They called me from the Memorial Garden. Somebody was selling plots. Different times they've called me. Asked if I'd like to have a plot in the Memorial Gardens. I said, I got three graveyards in Arkansas. He said, well, you're pretty well fixed then. Amen. I can be buried in either one of them. I take a notion. Amen. Just take me home. Praise God. If it's handy, take me home. If it's not, don't worry about it. Praise God. Sprinkle my ashes to the four winds. Praise God. Hey, there's going to be a resurrection one of these days. Amen. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Come home. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Three men named Collins. After a while, amen, they, those cousins and third, fourth, and fifth cousin, sixth, and seventh cousin named Collins began to marry each other. And Bessel Collins married Lawrence Collins, my uncle. She didn't even change her name. They wasn't kin. Amen. As far as I knew, nobody on my side of the family, Robinson or Collins, was really living for God. I didn't know about the revival in 1913, and a lot of them had got saved in. I didn't know about that. I didn't know that they'd named my mama after Zella Johnson, the evangelist that evangelized those hillsides. A woman preacher? Yeah. She is directly and indirectly responsible for every Pentecostal and Holiness Church, including the Assembly of God in Thayer, Missouri, amen, which was originally independent, praise God, all the way from West Plains to Black Rock and Hoxie, Arkansas, amen. She preached all over that country. A woman? Sure. They didn't have a preacher. If God can't find a man, He'll call a woman. Won't you bat your eyes at me like a frog in a hailstorm? Amen. You won't care if you go to heaven if a woman drug you out of hell. You hear what I said? You won't care if you go to heaven if a woman dragged you out of hell. Amen. General MacArthur had called for 10,000 missionaries to Japan during the occupation. He only got a few. But one day, a woman by the name of Coriel, who was laying sick in bed, her daughter was taking care of her. And her daughter had a big garter hanging on her neck way out here. God spoke to that daughter. Amen. And somehow or other through family, she had learned the sign language for the deaf. God spoke to that daughter and told her mother, said, God told me to go preach to the deaf mutes in Japan. And her mother said, well, if you're going, I'm going with you. And she crawled out of the sick bed and got well. Hallelujah. They boarded a boat to Japan, and when they landed on those shores, God healed that garter, praise God, and equipped them, glory to God, to preach to the deaf mutes of Japan. It is a matter of church history and missionary record that in that land of Buddhism and Shintoism and family spirit worship, they had more success than any missionary in Japan. I talked to Bobby Brooks, who stayed in Japan 7 years and never won one soul to God before he died with a brain tumor. Amen. Bobby Brooks, I asked him about the Coriel sisters, they call them. And he laughed and he said, I talked to other missionaries about them and said, we decided that they've just got the advantage of us. That's all there is to it. Amen. They were preaching to the deaf mutes and won so many to God, amen, and was so successful and had such a flourishing church.